History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure.
I think we're going to have to look, we're going to have to handle this with care, because you got two fragile quarterbacks. Both could be gone by week three. Concussion protocol, and if Pennis get in and get hurt again, you're down to your number three guy.
Yeah, that'd be Trevor Siemian, by the way, if it was a start today.
And, I mean, and I feel you on that. Now, he does have at least some starting experience in the league, but I got you.
Yeah, and look, when you say that, that's the nuclear option, right? That's the worst-case scenario that we'd be potentially looking at. I hope that isn't the case, but it is a part of the equation. Like, we can't sit here and deny that, right?
No.
And here's the other thing. For those of you who might be all about Michael Penix right now, and totally I get it, if he does get hurt again, you're going to be right back out, because you're going to be saying to yourself, now this is another reason why I can't totally buy in and believe. And we don't want this to happen to anybody. I always say this. I need these quarterbacks to be available and healthy, Mike. It's what makes the NFL the NFL. But for what, you know, our caller's talking about, Will, that's just a part of the game, man. That's just part of it. Like, that's why you just – You go play, and you know, God forbid if something happens, but Mike, we can't go into the season worried about that.
But 2 years ago, I mean, guys in Miami on the radio were saying that Tua needs to retire. He's got to step away from the game because his quality of life is going to be crap and everything else. And then it just seems like all that's kind of been swept under the rug and no one talks about it anymore. But, I mean, it's still the NFL. Like, I'd like to think that in this day and age, there's not going to be some knucklehead Vontaze Burfict who's going to go headhunting on Tua. I think players understand. But still, I think he also had to learn how to really take care of himself. You know, we joke around talking about like his karate instincts. He would run right into guys' like hips, and it was like, dude, what are you doing? You know, and further exacerbating the concussion. But for all the things we said about Penix, yes, that is still a part of Tua's, you know, concern for fans and for the organization. That's why he was so cheap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, he was cheap because
the Dolphins are paying for his salary for him not to be there.
Exactly. That's why he was. And by the way, this is going to become the norm. The problem is, this is the mistake of the team. It's not a mistake of Tua. They chose to give him the bag. And when you do that and you want to get out of that deal sooner than later, Mike, you end up paying the cost. And so that's on the Dolphins. It's the same thing the Broncos did, right? When Sean Payton got there. Oh, this is my guy. Okay, so they cut Russell a $36 million check to go away. Those are the decisions that are made when you invest in a guy that you don't believe can get you there.
Right. And it's funny because now we bring it back to the Braves for a minute. We talked about Hassan Kim. Are they going to eat $20 million? You know, they probably I talked to Grant yesterday. Did they outbid themselves for this guy? Because he basically had signed a 2-year deal with the Rays. The Rays said, I've seen enough. They ate some coin for a team that really doesn't do that on a regular basis. They're pretty cheap.
Yeah. We're going to see, man. Hopefully Kim picks it up. Braves back in action today, as we said, and we'll keep you updated. Hey, man, let's talk about what's going on around the NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1. All right, we mentioned Mike Vrabel spoke. Mike said he didn't say anything.
he's in front of a microphone. He didn't really say anything.
All right, so here's a couple of things from Vrabel, because everybody keeps thinking he's going to just step up and be like, all right, let me have your attention. Everything you're thinking is true. He's not said that. Here's what he did say about if he had any regrets on missing day 3 of the draft. Remember, he was on a hiatus and I was going to go handle my family.
No, again, they moved around. They made some trades. And again, this draft was pretty unique. I don't know if it's really been talked about, but they're just the volume of players in the draft wasn't what it normally is. And excited about the players that we got, you know, studied most of them. They knew my affinity for some of the players that we took.
Yeah. So what he's saying is they didn't need me. That's what he's saying. Like, I'm going to take this hiatus, but also this particular draft, that's kind of his comment there.
Okay, so it's just an average. It'd be funny now if we find out how many guys go to the Hall of Fame out of this draft class.
Right.
But if guys perceive it to be a down year, there was, again, guys that were able to stay in school because they're making money. Right, and you'd hope this would translate to the NBA, make for a better product for the NBA. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on that argument. That was kind of, well, you know, old hair helmet Kuiper was talking about. Yeah, everybody's kind of the same between the second and the fourth round. Well, that's good for us. right? I mean, because we didn't have a first round pick.
Right. We hopefully, so, we hopefully
two ways,
got value.
Two ways of looking at that, right? We got a Zachariah Branch in the third round.
Yeah, it's almost like we did pick a good year to not have one of those high picks. But either way, we hope we got some really good dudes. And by the way, I love the AV pick. I just, my only question was, and they've kind of answered it, where are you playing him? Right? That was my only thing. And right. I'm talking about Avion Terrell. Let me hear Mike Vrabel talk about that work-life balance that we all have to deal with.
Again, I appreciate my family is great. I love Jen. I love the boys. I love my personal friends. And then, you know, this spring is focused on really the coaching staff, players, more importantly than the coaching staff.
You're not going to get anything. They're trying.
They tried.
And
they tried.
It's, as you and I said yesterday, you know, at some point, you know, everyone turns the page, gets on with their life. I don't think there's any other shoe to drop on this. I mean, the last stuff was just the houseboat video, which is tacky. You know, guys, you know, she's got a bun in the oven and you're hanging out together on the lake and, you know.
They liked each other, Mike.
But again, it was. No, again, it's a shame for their families and the fact that all this is you know, out there in the papers and TV every night. But eventually, this, as I said, this too shall pass.
No doubt.
And no one's, and no one was ever saying she should be suspended. I just thought it was, it just sucked for Diana Rossini. There was a double standard how she was, he was treated and she was treated.
Yeah, well, she had to quit and he didn't.
Right.
Right. That's basically it. Let's get to Jalen Hurts. Mike, what's his relationship with A.J. Brown? We think A.J. will be traded, right?
Yes, and I think their relationship is non-existent.
Okay. He is going to be traded, we believe, to the Patriots. That's really the only team that makes sense. And again, speaking of Vrabel, he knows him. He was with him in Tennessee. Okay. But what about Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown?
Well, none's changed since we last spoke at the end of the season. We're really good, and I saw how beautiful the pictures came out at his wedding. I'm very happy for him and his wife and his family, and it's a beautiful thing to step into covenant. So I was very excited and congratulatory towards that.
Wait. Does that mean he wasn't at the wedding?
That's what I just think to Carl when he said that. I mean, the pictures. I mean, so you're happy how the pictures came out you were in, or you're happy you saw the pictures of the wedding you were not at?
Yeah, like me and my boys, we had that one pose in the wedding pictures, and it came out great, but it didn't sound like
let
that,
me
Mike.
Let me ask AI, was Jalen Hurts not at A.J. Brown's wedding?
No, Ole says he wasn't there. He did not go.
It was a thing a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, did not attend.
Yeah.
Montage Laguna Beach Resort out in Southern California.
Okay, now I'm just asking.
He's godfather to one of A.J.'s kids, too.
Thank you. And you didn't get invited to the wedding? Or maybe you didn't go to the wedding? Like, you can tell me all things are good. And
that's what I'm saying. There's no relationship. That relationship has soured. Remember last year? It was like Saquon. Yeah, we had a meeting, players only. I mean, it was just basically the quarterback, the running back, and the wide receiver. And then later on, AJ Brown, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Never happened. Hey, speaking of two sides to one story, you want to play the J.J. McCarthy? Let's first hear from Kyler Murray, asked by the Minneapolis media how this mini camp is going and the relationship with the young J.J. McCarthy.
With JJ to this point?
It's been great. Obviously, I know he's a younger guy, so any way I can help him, obviously, I feel like, you know, I've played 7 years now, going on eight, so I'm considered a veteran, even though I don't see myself as that. Give him any knowledge that he needs. Again, you know, we're both competitors, and I know, you know, we both want what's best for the team.
Has he been receptive to hearing criticism?
Of course. Yeah, he's overly receptive, you know, and he's always communicating, asking questions, stuff like that, so it's been good.
And now it's here from J.J. McCarthy.
J.J., what's your relationship been like with Kyler so far?
You know, it's just like two guys in a classroom. You know, he sits on one side, I sit on the other side, and it's the coach's responsibility to teach us and coach us. So,
is there any awkwardness, like, between you two?
Awkwardness, you know, it's just like the same feeling, you know, when you're in high school and there's another person on the other side of the room. That's just kind of how it is. So I wouldn't say there's any awkwardness.
That's awkward, fool.
Well, that would be two different takes on the same situation, wouldn't it?
But
this gets me back to, and again, Tua tells you the things you want to hear.
No. He's a great person.
And Kyler Murray right there was trying to give you the Russell Wilson, which, again, Russell Wilson has a degree in BS. His BS is in BS and how to spin things. And here is Kyler, you know, kind of a mentor to the guy. And Jay's like, I don't talk to him. He runs to the side of the room. We're battling for the quarterback job.
Kyler, it's funny. Can you play the first part of that Kyler again? He's like, I've been in the league 7 years.
Going on eight.
And I've been stealing money. I've had one playoff appearance, and I know what it's like to get your bag before you need it. I mean, that's what he should have been saying instead of this crap. Let me hear it again.
I'm here for $1.5 million, right?
Can you describe your relationship with JJ to this point?
It's been great. It's been great. Obviously, I know he's a younger guy, so any way I can help him, obviously, I feel like, you know, I've played 7 years now, going on eight,
mm-hmm.
So I'm considered a veteran, even though I don't see myself as that. Give him any knowledge that he needs. Again, you know, we're both competitors, and I know, you know, we both want what's best for the team.
Yeah, I don't believe it, Mike. I'm with you. That's a little riff. And look, if you're JJ, you were the 10th overall pick. You think you should be getting the opportunity to start. And they went out and acquired Kyler Murray because they basically said, we don't believe in you quite yet.
Crazy story. We didn't get to this yesterday in Guy Talk. We were talking about everything else. Do you see what Will Levis's mom had to say?
Will Levis.
Tennessee, the guy that loved mayonnaise? The quarterback that, you know, Cam Ward
Kentucky
took his job.
Will Levis, yes.
Yeah, Kentucky's Will Levis, who was at Tennessee. Now, we saw him light us up. We made him look like, you know, Drew Brees in the game 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now. But Will Levis's mom tells a story that apparently he did a sex tape with his girlfriend in Kentucky, and somebody hacked it, got it, and apparently was blackmailing him. And he paid money, and it was a huge distraction for him when he was trying to make his way, I guess, in the NFL. Now, I mean, that's mom's side to the story. But either way, that's why sex tapes are generally a bad idea. But I saw that. I was like,
well,
you got to keep it safe. Well, that didn't work for Tommy and Pamela.
I mean,
you got to keep it under lock and key, and even then somebody might steal the safe.
I don't want to say it's a bad idea, but go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I mean, not that anybody wants. Me 40 pounds ago in the Greek islands, I got hours of stuff on Super 8, but nobody wants to see that. But no, this is interesting. The explicit tape that Will Levis and his girlfriend, his name is Gia Duddy, surfaced.
Oh, yeah.
He went to extreme lengths. She was a little cutie.
Yeah.
Speaking to Ross Tucker for his podcast, it was Levis's mom, Beth. She hired a cybersecurity specialist to help them, and they said they spent a ton of money to get the video removed.
All right, I'll ask my daughter. Because she's there, not now, but she's been there. And Mike, if that was a thing with among the students, I didn't know about it.
She said that look, ultimately, there's a lot of content was taken down. How much? The hours of this stuff?
Who knows?
Yeah, but anyway, you can never scrape anything entirely from the internet. It's there forever. There's a footprint, his mom said. Well, I mean, all right.
Is he wearing a disguise is my question.
Well, the one where he was Batman and she was Catwoman was very,
that's what
very
I'm saying.
Exciting.
Yeah. All right. I know that.
Ride with Batman?
I told you the story after we went a few years back when he was there. I think it's last year there before he got drafted. Georgia, there was a close game, cold. Georgia wins by, I think, five or six
low scoring
points.
Game, right.
Yeah, and then he went to a spot with his girlfriend, and I got a chance to meet him there because he was out and about. But you're right. I didn't know that story, though.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, man. Don't do it.
Keep a lid on it.
Or erase it. Hey, man, coming up, we will get you caught up on the latest to-do list for our Atlanta Hawks. Now it's down to business for Ansi Saleh. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I was talking with Day-Day about that Will Levis story. He unequivocally denies that he's ever done anything like that. He's shaking his head. I said, you never did that? No, I've never done it.
Carl's a really horny guy, in case you hadn't noticed.
Talking about a sex tape.
I like to quote the great Eric Dickerson from Pony Express.
What'd he say?
If I ain't tell you nothing back then, what the hell makes you think I'm going to tell you something now?
When he was getting all that money. It's Dukes and Bell, man.
Well, do you have a collection at home?
No. I'm willing to bet.
Mm-hmm.
That if we pose this question to our audience, because you guys are anonymous, we don't know what you look like. You're calling in, Mike. The phone lines would be full. If I said right now, have you ever done a sex tape?
Right.
Whether it was with your wife or your girlfriend, however the circumstances
back
were
back in the day,
whatever. I guarantee phone lines would blow up because people, you know,
that was a thing.
So no, I don't. But I understand that story about Will Levis because if it gets out and you are a public figure. That's the issue.
And the thing is, for those who remember, like we're talking about the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson thing, where they had a guy that worked for Tommy Lee. They literally stole the safe and cracked the safe that had the porno in it. So, you know, that would be, you'd think I've got a big safe in the garage. I think that's, I'm safe, pardon the pun. And you weren't. But yeah, I mean, that was the thing. For, you know, again, two consenting adults, obviously, but it was a lot of fun in the old days.
No doubt. And I think it still is. Yes. Hey, man.
But now the problem is it's in your phone.
And it gets out.
The digitalization of everything, and there you go.
Once you put it out there. I want to be clear on something, because I said they went out and acquired Kyler Murray. The Murray situation is very similar to ours.
Right. They have cheap.
$1.3 million 1 year. Arizona is paying $35.5 million of his salary.
That's what I was saying. They paid to get rid of him, just like the Dolphins paid to get rid of Tua and hit the reset.
Yeah.
Which, and they might as well, a lot of folks said, they might as well have traded Achane, because there's no reason to
have, you know,
just blow it up and start from scratch.
Yeah. Cheetah's gone. Waddle's been traded. You're right. But anyways, we were talking about Kyler Murray and his tutelage to J.J. McCarthy.
And J.J.'s subsequent refusal to agree to any of the things that Kyler Murray said.
It's not happening. Hey, man, coming up, we'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind. It is not sex tapes. But let's talk about the Hawks real quick. Because now what is the to-do list, Mike? Ansi Salehe gets his extension. He's in place. He was promoted, by the way, in 2025 to our general manager position. For those who don't remember, he was the assistant general manager. Just behind the scenes. We really didn't talk about Ansi because Landry Fields was running the show.
Right.
And then when they moved on, they promoted Ansi. And so now he gets this deal where he is going to be president of basketball ops along with this general manager's position. We have picks 8 and 23 in the first round. But the real question is, guys, and this is where it starts. I just want Hawks fans to understand this. Do you keep McCollum and do you pick up the Kuminga extension?
Right. Did Kuminga give you enough? Because, again, we got him here. He was injured. I think we then found out, because you were not really feeling him. You were kind of lukewarm.
He was hot and cold. He's hot and cold.
You were lukewarm. And then, you know, in the games you won against the Knicks, he gave you the spark. He was like, wow, this guy could be our Vinnie Johnson. You know, now, granted, he can't hit a jump shot to save his life consistently, but he brought energy, right? And he brought that above the rim kind of stuff that a lot of Hawks fans are looking for. But is he worth it? That's, I mean, if you ask me right now, would I bring Kuminga back? I'm probably 50-50. You know, I can't tell you one way or the other.
Yeah.
But he did. But he was part of something good in a high-pressure situation when it mattered most.
Yeah, and look, I think if you are Quinn Snyder in the organization, there's two ways to look at this. One, you get a full offseason with him. You get him more acclimated to what you want him to try to attempt to do, and you get control. Even if you want to move him next season, you have the ability to do that by picking up this option. But, Mike, if you do that, you will have – if you bring back McCollum, and I'm not sure even what the number is going to be. I told you, I don't think it'll be 3 years. But if you bring back McCollum and you pick up the $24.2 million option for Kuminga, you're not going to have money to go acquire a big free agent. If Isaiah Hartenstein becomes available, you're not going to be able to go do that.
Right.
So that's why it starts there. Outside of the draft picks, which those are going to happen, guys, I don't think that's not a part of this equation. But I think the real question is, can you go address your big issue? And Mike's brought up Mitchell Robinson, right? Kessler Walker. We've talked about some of these guys. Some of these guys are going to be restricted free agents, which means their teams can match whatever the Hawks are going to attempt to match them or offer them. But unrestricted free agents, guys like Robert Williams or Mitchell Robinson, those are the kind of bigs that, Mike, you want to try to get in on. I just don't know who the target is going to be. But think right. about this. JJ's under lockdown as far as contract. Nikhil, you got him under contract. Dyson, Okongwu, all these guys are under contract.
Yeah, and the reason, just for guys who missed it, we were talking about it last month, about Mitchell Robinson, is because he'd probably be a little bit cheaper. You know, if the Knicks, I don't think the Knicks, if there was, again.
Well, Mikal Bridges' contract kicks in.
Correct. And it could be a topsy-turvy, you know, a lot of teams can take multi-teams to get this Giannis thing. If Giannis is leaving the Bucks, it can take three teams to make it work. But if the Knicks are ever going to bring him to New York, there's going to be some cap casualties. But that's why I just mentioned, because I know he's a butcher on the free throw line, but if he drafted a young kid as a center, and you wanted to, you know, maybe have Mitchell Robinson as a stopgap, it's affordable.
Yeah, it is.
For the way our organization looks at things. Yeah, you know, Walker Kessler, I'd be all over that. I mean, we talked about, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what Hartenstein and how Oklahoma City is going to approach his contract.
Mm-hmm.
He could step in here because whatever you think of him, you know, because he had a slow start in this series, but he's gotten better, and he's something we don't have.
No, there's two Williams. One is Robert. The other is Mark. Mark is in Phoenix. These are big guys.
Right.
These are guys that, again, Mark is a restricted free agent. They can match. I don't know if they will. But these are the kind of names that you'll hear. I'm just saying, as we start to say, what are we going to do in this offseason? And what is the to-do list?
Right.
It's really about McCollum at what number and what are you doing with Kuminga? And then once that decision is made, Mike, you then have either more flexibility by not picking up the option because you're saving $24 million, or you're picking it up, and you're going to have a lot less. If all these guys are under contract, Corey Kispert, Richache, which he is with his rookie deal. Richache is $13 million, by the way. It's not a lot of money in the NBA, but it's still. And then right. Ace Newell, Mike, you're still talking about we're way under the cap as right. far as the amount of – I think the cap's like we're going to be 165. We're still going to be at like 140. So there's money
and
to,
there is a,
to maneuver.
There's a floor you have to get to.
Correct.
Right.
But there's money to maneuver. But I just think it's important for Hawks fans to be like, hey, we can go out and get anybody we want. Not necessarily.
Well, and the guys are bringing up you know, the Jaylen Brown thing. Rick just hit it up on the text line. What about the rumors? Again, it's just fodder. People are throwing teams out there that might be in play.
You're going to give to get, though.
Yes. Now, again, you're gonna have to get rid of – I can't imagine a trade involving Jaylen Brown where you don't give up Jalen Johnson. You know, and then that's the other thing. I think we're still just starting to scratch the surface with Jaylen Johnson. I don't think you want to, you know, I don't read too much into. He wouldn't be the first star in the NBA to get his nose, you know, sort of punched in the playoffs and maybe, you know, didn't respond the way fans want him to. But, you know, I saw it today. I showed Carl. I was laughing. Somebody on a Cleveland website had us taking Donovan Mitchell. And we gave away all our first-round picks, Okongwu and Richache. I'm right. like, what's the value for Richache right now? You know, it just, and I hit the guy back from Cleveland. I said, why would the Cleveland even do this? Makes no sense. You know? But, Nurkic from Utah. That's the other one. Did you mention him?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's one. Vucevic, if you want to go older and it would be cheaper, Nikola Vucevic with the Celtics. Remember, I wanted us to get him at the trade deadline.
And they didn't even play him, by the way.
Nope. And our old friend that we've talked about for years and never pulled the trigger on DeAndre Ayton, who's a bit soft, but he's tall.
Yeah. And I don't know what the Lakers' plans are. My guess is they'll probably move on if they can do something else there. And again, you know, some of this stuff is going to be contingent on what other teams are doing.
Another cheapie, Mo Wagner, but he's coming off an injury from you know from Orlando.
Well, so is the Robert Williams guy that I was talking about. He's a really good defensive player, but he's coming off of injury, and so you know you got to weigh that. But none of these guys are going to cost you $100 million,
right?
Except for Kessler.
That's a big money investment.
He's the only guy that may be a four-year, $120 million guy. But all these other guys, Mike, you talking about Mitchell Robinson, this 3 years, $45 million, 3 years, $39 million.
Hey, and if you really want to do it on the cheap, if he still wants to play another year, it's Brooke Lopez. Which everyone people roll their eyes, but you know what you're getting from him.
Yeah, yeah.
As you presumably draft a big, now again, we can debate, you know, if you take the kid from Michigan, we'll talk about, we got plenty of time to talk about the NBA draft, but all of a sudden now, the point guard thing versus the center. And by the way, would I trade? Guy hit me up just now. Because would you trade? Yes, I would trade for Jaylen Brown. I take Jaylen Brown here in a heartbeat. I don't think they'd ever do that.
Champion, man. Champion.
I just don't think they do that because you don't have the pieces built around him, and we'd just be spinning our wheels. We'd be a good team, but we wouldn't be a championship team.
And that's the issue. I don't want to gut the roster and improve it. So if you're not doing that, here's the thing. What if Ancie Soleil says, look, this is more about development, and we're going to stay the course, and guess what? We're running it back. We're going to add a piece or two, but Mike, everybody you saw last year is coming back. Another year of Kuminga. You said it. Another year of JJ, right? Nikhil will be better. That's part of maybe the philosophy here without gutting your roster.
Well, what do you, I mean, do you think McCollum can give us two serviceable years? You know,
with manageable minutes, yes.
And now, but you've got to get the right point guard because, again, if you get the right point guard who can step up, step in. You know, and not just be, you know, 18 minutes again. You know, you really, where you get a guy who's going to learn on the job quickly, that just doesn't seem to happen. Now, there are some upperclassmen, but there are some guys in this draft that have more than 1 year, Carl, in the college game.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. Hawks make that move yesterday and give Ancie the extension. And now I think, again, the real work begins. Your thoughts are welcome. Hey, don't forget, Day-Day tonight has Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at last night, actually, at teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state.
You can rewind it.
You can. You know why? Because I think today is Wednesday because the day Monday was Memorial Day. All right. Either way, check it out. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings. It's Prep Sports Nation, guys. It's Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, coming up, speaking of Day-Day, what's on his mind? And our buddy Mike Griffith stops by at 4 o'clock to talk about SEC spring meetings, Greg Sankey and Kirby.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay there. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, our guy Mike Griffith is going to join us. Can I share with one of our friends, one of your good friends, and he's a friend of mine, said to you, because we were talking about these, actually, Will Levis, you mentioned the story.
Yeah, Will Levis's mom was doing a podcast and mentioned that he really was distracted his first year and basically his first 2 years in Tennessee because he was trying to squash a video that of him and his ex-girlfriend or as his girlfriend from Kentucky when he was at UK that was being, they're being blackmailed basically with a sex tape that, and they were trying to make sure it was scrubbed. They hired cybersecurity to get it basically digitally removed from the interweb.
Yeah. So we were talking about that. And so one of your friends, and I said one of mine, but Hoff hit you up in a text message. And if any of your friends, well, there's two, but if any of your friends would have said, yeah, I'm guilty, I would have thought the Hoff was guilty.
Yeah, I mean, like, for those who don't, many of you have met our buddy Jerry. We call him Hasselhoff because he looks just like, you know, Hasselhoff and the Knight Rider and Baywatch. But Jerry has been all over the world. And he's, you know, he goes, yeah, I met a nice girl. She's from Medellin. I was down there at the Intercontinental. We had a good weekend. And I'm like, yeah, she's an 11, dude. I mean, and Jerry, I mean, for our audience, just so you know, he likes girls that are, you know, they're curvy and the whole shebang. So, I mean, it's universally loved by all of our listeners, I can tell you this. And if ever there's a guy that should be videotaping and documenting,
I thought he was guilty.
It is Hasselhoff.
I thought, honestly. And then he texted you, he was like, I've never done it. Jerry's, stop lying, Jerry.
Jerry's like, you know, he goes, hey, man, I've had more than anyone, never did a sex tape.
So we were laughing in here about that. All right, man. Day-Day, what is going on today, man? What's on your
mind? Shout out to Jerry, because I've actually seen Jerry in action.
Oh,
Jerry is a monster.
Jerry's, I was like, whoa.
Right, Vegas. Jerry, what happened to you last night? I met a nice girl. She's black.
The funniest story you ever told me, Mike, is that you're watching TV one day, and it was some random beauty contest.
Oh, I got time for this real quick, Day-Day. I'll give you a minute. Carl knows this. I'm in Costa Rica, and I'm with a special lady friend. We're watching TV in the evening before going out. And sure enough, because beauty pageants are like baseball down there. There's tons of beauty pageants. It's a thing. And it was a Miss Colombia or Miss Central America pageant. And they basically say they're from this hotel in Bogota. And they have this, obviously, a Spanish soap opera star, there's some soccer player, some former model. And the final judge, and my Spanish is weak, so it was like, Señor Jerry Sainz, he goes, empresario de norteamericano and experta de la travesa, like expert on beauty and North American businessman, Senior Signs. And I see, and I'm literally in bed, I go, holy cow, that's Hasselhoff.
It's Jerry.
And he was staying at the hotel, and because he looks like a celebrity and somebody came up short, last minute they asked him to be a judge for this beauty contest.
Is that crazy?
On television all over Central America.
That's crazy. And he does cop to it, because I'm like, Jerry, was that a true story? He's like, yeah, it happened.
That is hilarious. Yeah,
back
man.
In 01. When I was in Bogota.
Shout out to Jay, man.
You sure he didn't have any tapes? All right, man, go ahead. Leave it.
I think he's lying.
I do, too. I think he's lying.
All right. Shout out to the Atlanta Dream. Now, they did lose yesterday, but it was just their second loss of the season. So for all my Dream fans, the ladies are looking good. They did fall to the Lynx, 96-81. But again, they're 4-2 on the season. Currently in fourth, but the standings right now, because it's so early in the season, really jumbled up. Now, had they won, they'd be sole possession of first place. But instead, losing to the Lynx, Lynx have first place. They're at 5-2. Aces in second at 4-2. Fever third, 4-2. Us 4-2. And then Valkyries fifth, 4-2. So really jumbled up right now, but just want to show some love to them because they're starting off. Just got to work on Angel Reese and those bunnies. She's got to stop missing the bunnies.
Okay, you know what?
Well, that's not really going to happen.
You need to lay off Angel. Okay.
She is the rebounding queen because she misses so many shots.
Lay off Angel. She's fine, okay?
Yeah, she is.
No, she's going to be just fine.
How about this, guys? The Knicks. So it's being reported that they're going to donate at least 250 tickets per finals game to the Garden of Dreams Foundation of Youth. So at a minimum value, say if they were to do, say they only got two, say for whatever reason it didn't go seven. If you just did 500 tickets, based on what they're saying the get-in price is, that'd be $1.5 million.
Whoa. Of tickets that they're giving
away. Because when I looked this morning, it said 3,000 was like the cheapest
to get in the building.
To get in the building.
That's insane. Mike, what are those courtside seats going to go for in the finals?
Yeah, they were talking about, because I've got a couple of buddies I went to high school with, they're Wall Street guys, and they're literally, they're already pricing flying to San Antonio or Oklahoma City, because even by their ridiculous standards, you can't afford the Garden. Mm. You know, I mean, and there's talk that, you know, the Garden does comp some celebrities' tickets, and that might be not happening for the finals. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think
don't listen to make too much money.
Yeah, I think me and O saw, what, last week, that center courtside seats
were
like 50, were
45,
like
50 grand, yeah.
Yeah, 45, right. 50 grand.
Spike's paying that? Is Spike paying that?
I think Spike just pays one price,
right?
Sure,
he probably just drops a coin. Yeah, I'd say he probably just writes one check, right?
Okay, I don't know. But look, he doesn't miss a game.
We're talking about what are the actual face, and then because you see it on StubHub and what they're priced at. So, I mean, Lord only knows. But, yeah, that's at the Garden, you could get 10 grand a night on face.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but that's cool that they're giving tickets away.
Yeah, but that
is cool.
It says on AI Google here, $300,000 to $400,000 per season on his courtside seats at Madison Square Garden.
So divide by 41.
Yeah.
10 grand a night.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Because, look, and he makes road trips, too. We know that. Yeah. Right? He came here.
He's easily spending millions, right?
Close to it.
His seats are $4,000. They say $4,000 per ticket.
Four
per
grand
game.
Is face. Okay.
Okay.
That's crazy.
But then what you're seeing is the StubHub and the ticket.
So you're telling me, Timothy Chalamet, they're not going to comp his tickets?
I don't know. I mean, he's been the rabbit's foot, him and Ben Stiller.
Should have won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan was crying the other night in Cleveland. The niggas are going to. I mean, it's a big thing. You know,
it really is.
And at least, he didn't throw up.
They have one of the better, if we're honest, them and the Lakers have the best celebrity roles.
Yes.
Because it's long-standing people that are constantly.
For sure.
It's not.
Chris Rock will show up, too.
Yeah, Chris Rock. Right. I mean, if you're at the Lakers.
You go to a Lakers or a Knicks game to be seen, though, if you're somebody
that's
of
true.
Note.
But I do like, after Dolan got over his beef with Charles Oakley, that you see all that. You see Patrick Ewing and you see Clyde.
Spree,
all the way back. You
see Bernard King with the hat. Yeah.
That's my man. That was my guy as a kid, man, Bernard King.
All right.
That's why I always love She's Gotta Have It, because I love it because Bernard King was his character. Was Miles' kid, his guy.
All right, speaking of the NBA, and Mike, you touched on this. So Adam Silver, here's what he had to say. First of all, he had my back because Abe, Carl, while you were out, Abe and Mike tried to jump me and shame me for something I had said. And Adam Silver clearly understands exactly what I'm talking about. Let's just go ahead and roll the tape.
I would only say that there's a difference between selling a call, exaggeration, and a true flop, which is where you're actually fooling the referees. I think sometimes even as I sit in the stands at games, players may be falling down, players may be reacting to a call. But then, to me, if they're not fooling the referees, it's like, okay, that's like the players are taught to sell calls these days. I mean, can officiating get bad? Can officiating get better? Of course.
Yes.
We're always working on that. Can officials get fooled occasionally? We're always looking at that as well. But the officiating is incredible. I will also add one other piece to it, because I know there's always controversy around certain calls. There's one you were talking about on your show earlier today. And I think in terms of replay, I think we're going to get to the point fairly quickly where, just like, you know, if you're a tennis fan and they have what they call Hawkeye, and it's like the animation, and you quickly see, you know, where the line was and the oohs and ahs of the crowd, it touched the line or it was out of bounds. We're going to move to a system like that, where that whole category of calls will be automatic, where, you know, it's going to be, you know, Laker ball, Knick ball, whatever it is, you know, Thunder ball, you know, those calls will be done by an AI automated system with cameras lined around the court, and it'll take all of those so-called objective calls out of the hands of the referees.
Okay. Now, if you can make it work, do it.
But my issue was
AI taking more jobs, dog.
Yeah, they are.
Go ahead.
Well, if the refs aren't getting it right, man, I mean, get it right or you get replaced.
I want to hear it, O.
But did you hear what he said?
Did
you hear what he said at the beginning? Players are taught to sell calls. I made this comment last week as a coach, as kids,
ruining the youth.
No, we were all taught as kids in this room. Sell the call.
But that's why people now commentating all around America on sports radio shows, and SGA must be stopped by the Spurs, because you're going to have an entire generation of kids that are going to be pulling this crap. Because SGA stuff is ridiculous. It's bad enough LeBron does it the way he does it, but if you can stop it immediately and AI sees it, there's no frigging contact, and now you're on a technical, because you simulated a foul like they do in soccer. I'm all for it. SGA, it's the most unmanly thing in the world the way he does it, Day-Day. His and you got to stop teaching these kids.
Listen,
You're ruining the youth.
They shamed me. They said I'm ruining my – listen, we have great basketball season.
So do you have a charge drill with the kids?
Yes, and the thing is it's contact. Feet. You sell the contact. I'm not saying flop. There's a difference.
Like, so you've not used that word with the kids?
What, flop?
Yes.
No.
You've not
never.
Used that word.
No.
Nobody on your team has flopped.
Now, will I say sell the call? Yes, sell the call. So if there's contact being made, you got to make it look like, oh, I'm hurt.
Kids. All right, man. I was unaware that they double-teamed you last week.
Man,
they got after you.
I had to go buy a bottle of that tequila that was being sampled. Yes. It made me feel so bad.
By the way, great. You did miss a good broadcast at the at Metro Bottle.
They kept bringing it?
Well, the lady, you know, with their little shot
Mike
glasses.
Was smitten.
Yeah, she's Eastern from Romania, and I'd been to Bucharest. I was chatting her up.
Okay.
And then she was,
I was like, Mike, I didn't know you spoke that language. He was like, neither did I.
Tequila loosens the tongue.
Yes, it does.
Hey, I've always said it's a game changer.
Yes, sir. But no, she was great. She was having fun, and she's like, "You guys want another one?" Like, okay, yes, please. You know, of course, Abe being a stick in the mud. All right, I'll have one.
Yeah, I heard Andy say he's got to take a shot tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got to replace Randy.
Yeah, Twin Peaks.
Right on, get it on, man.
I hope he does.
Yeah. He won't. It'd be good if Abe could take.
Talking about he had a race on Saturday, man.
If Abe could take like five shots before the show starts, that would make it easier for everyone.
Stop it.
As someone who's seen Abe drunk before, trust
me. Oh, you have?
You don't want to see Abe drunk on air, man.
I've never seen that because every time I'm with him, he's like, I'm not drinking.
The wheels come off?
It's very unsteady.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
He just has fun. Abe was not a – when Abe goes and gets it on, like he goes and gets it in.
Okay. We need to see that.
Yeah. Well, he's got to have a medium setting. He's probably just, you know,
we'll just put him in a Waymo. What's the big deal?
Yeah, he just goes,
he would start driving the Waymo.
Yeah, he would.
What's the big deal?
Telling the Waymo, this is how you do it. No, this is how
this is
drive
not the
Waymo.
Way to go.
And by the way, the wheels on the bus go round and round. We had Jerome Bettis on. Great conversation. You can rewind it Thursday from the Odyssey app. I said hi to him for you.
Yeah, man.
Because I know you know the bus. But he's looking forward to jumping on anytime. Still makes home in Atlanta.
He does.
Involved with the new arena team coming to Athens. But it was a real cool conversation.
Yeah. All right. And last thing, Mike, I think you touched on this yesterday, but we do know the official start times for Georgia and Georgia Tech's first three games. Actually, Georgia Tech's, we know their first four because their fourth one they're
on. What time's the Colorado game, bro?
8 p.m.
Is that that's a Wednesday or Thursday night?
I need to double check the date on that because it's a night game.
It's a standalone,
yeah.
Though. I think it's a standalone.
Yeah, I think they're repeating like what they did last year because last year was a Friday. No, they moved it to Thursday, right? I mean, it was originally going to be a Saturday and then they moved
September
it.
September
3rd. There you go.
Okay.
So. Wow. So 8 p.m., then this is Georgia Tech since we started there. Colorado, 8 p.m., following week, Tennessee, 7 p.m. So woo! Back-to-back primetime games, and then their third game, Mercer, that's a noon game. For Georgia, it's Tennessee State, 3 p.m., Western Kentucky, 12:45 p.m., and then Arkansas, 12 p.m. Of course, Arkansas complaining about the fact that they got to go to BYU.
Yeah.
BYU.
Yeah,
no,
actually,
and
it's Utah. Then they got.
I mean,
come out
Utah.
Here.
Yeah, and then come here.
She got a short week. Ooh.
That's the third game of the season for the Dogs.
Yeah, no.
At Arkansas.
Arkansas comes to Athens.
Arkansas comes here.
That's why Arkansas is bellyaching. They got to go from Utah late night start. Gotcha. They get by.
They only
get
six right. full. They only get 6 days in between instead of seven.
That's an L.
Tennessee. By the way, Tennessee at Bobby Dodd is going to be cool. Historically,
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado is too. Prime in Atlanta.
Right.
No, it'll be. Look, I just don't know what to expect from his team right now.
I know.
Recruiting is not great.
You got Juju, man, the starting quarterback from Georgia.
Yeah, Juju from Carrollton.
Is he starting?
It hasn't been official, but he should.
How is he not starting?
Right.
He's Juju on that beat.
I mean, you remember last year towards the end of the season, he was just rotating quarterbacks. Yep. It was like, you know, okay, this week it's going to be you.
Look good in a Georgia uniform.
Well, I think they did recruit him. But
they did.
Georgia did. Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah.
So, all right, guys, that's what's on my mind. By the way, my wife is being enticed by her fellow, you know, whatever they call it over there, to buy these tickets in the new
section.
Over there.
Oh, you had me confused. I thought you said your wife was enticed to have you guys videotape something.
Shut up.
Me and Carl, the way you said that. Oh, how about that?
You did kind of lead us down that path
the way you were looking.
Stop it.
Hey.
Is she going to do it? Not the
asked
tape.
Her.
I'm talking about the section. the new section.
I asked her. I we're debating. I mean, it's not cheap. It is not cheap.
Day-Day comes home. Hey, girl, I'm going to dress up as Ben Johnson. You Flo-Jo.
Look, we might, I might have to do the doggone tape if we do.
No, buy
it's
these more
tickets.
Like I'm gonna be a head coach. You're gonna be my star player, and I'm gonna teach you how to be fouled correctly. There, yes.
Oh my goodness, this thing's getting out of hand.
What do they call it for guys?
Yeah,
is it OnlyFans for guys too?
Well. There are some guys out there. I don't know if they're making any money. Mike Griffith from Dog Nation is going to join us. AJC.com. What does he think about what Greg Sankey's been saying and Kirby's comments? It's Dukes and Bell.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.